This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, friends, again, welcome to another telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again, and certainly we want to extend our appreciation for you taking time out of your busy schedule to stay with us over the next half hour. Hopefully, today's program will be a benefit to all of you. You know, a few years ago, a guy named Jim McKeever wrote a book. The book was quite a controversial book and generated quite a bit of attention in the Christian community, and rightly so, because so many Christians today believe that they're going to avoid the tribulations. You'll see what I mean here as I tell you the name of his book, the title that is, was Christians Will Go Through the Tribulations. So as you can see, that particular title would have generated quite a bit of interest by many Christians in light of the fact that it goes quite counter to what many Christians today believe. I wanted a quote from his book on page 45 and 46 at the outset here, because essentially today I'd like to talk a little bit about this place of safety, whether or not Christians will indeed go through the tribulations or will they be protected. So bear with me here as I go here on page 45 of Mr. McKeever's book and quote this. If a Christian, and I'm quoting now, if a Christian will put out of his mind all of his preconceived ideas about a rapture occurring at the beginning of the tribulation, and will look objectively at what the scriptures have to say, I believe he will conclude that the rapture will occur at the end of the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and that the dead will be raised at the last trumpet. In Revelation, at the last trumpet, we see the beginning of Christ's reign and the first resurrection. Nothing could be simpler. There are no complications if you accept the fact that the rapture occurs at the end of the tribulations. Now, I know that many of you are aware that Mr. McKeever is a known survivalist and that he wrote the book primarily to tell you and I how we can survive the tribulations. I also know that he benefited personally quite a bit from the book sales of his writing. Nevertheless, putting that off to the side, I can't help but to share with you, my friends, the fact, and I know this may come as somewhat a surprise to you. Nevertheless, I think his title is right on. Now, let me explain why I think that, that being Christians will indeed go through the tribulations. But before I do, let me take a moment here to interrupt myself, as it is our rule here on the Armor of God, to present to you our free offer. Today we have a dual tape set. One tape is titled, Where is Your Place of Safety? 1 hour in length. While another, the other tape that is, given by my colleague, Mr. Bronson James, a commentator here also on the Armor of God, titled, In Whom Do We Trust? Also about 1 hour. That is 2 hours of information that will supplement what I'm about to share with you, and by no means will be able to cover all of the details these two tapes will be able to cover. So do go ahead right now, call in 888-578-8791. You will find the information in both of these tapes very helpful in helping you to better understand just exactly what we have to offer here in regards to this particular subject. So dial now, as I say, 888-578-8791, and or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org, and we'll be able to go ahead and provide you with additional information at that time, because I think there on our website you will see more material there for your consideration that hopefully will be helpful to you in your walk with Jesus Christ. So dial now, as I say, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. Now back to the subject. The reason I want to talk about this particular subject today, my friends, is because I'm afraid we as Christians, as they say, are cruising for a bruising. Because in parallel and in principle, I'm afraid history is going to repeat itself. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, back in the 19th century, there was quite a prominent movement going on. It was called the Advent Movement. One of the more prominent personalities of that movement was a guy named William Miller. Now, William Miller advanced the idea that Jesus Christ was going to return to earth on October 22nd, 1844. Well, here you and I are. You know, it's already the 21st century, and we are still waiting for Jesus Christ. Needless to say, some events occurred out of this great disappointment. One of those events was the fact that some Sabbatarian groups materialized, namely the Seventh-day Adventist movement, namely headed up by Ellen G. White and her husband, and another Sabbatarian group that took a different venue by a guy named Hiram S. Case. That's another story, perhaps left for another program at a future date. But the event that I really want to focus on is this event that I've already alluded to and have labeled, and it is labeled, as a matter of fact, in history, as the Great Disappointment. Because you see, my friends, what happened as a result of Jesus not returning on October 22nd, 1844, as Mr. Miller had mentioned he would, many people, that is Christians, who believed Mr. Miller, became quite disoriented and, as a matter of fact, disillusioned. They gave up hope in the return of Jesus Christ. They abandoned their walk with Christ. They began to look at the Bible, this Judeo-Christian document, as a document that could no longer be relied upon because they believed a man. I'm concerned in principle, as I say, that this concept of a rapture, and let me clarify, when I say rapture, I know many of you will automatically think I'm talking about wafting off to heaven. Well, for today's program, let me just use it as a general term to imply group protection in a common location, be it heaven or on earth. Because I know that there are some of you who believe that you're going to be wafted off to heaven and protected from the tribulation for, in some cases, 7 years. Others of you believe 3.5 years. And then there are other groups today, especially among the Sabbath-keeping Christians, those Christians, you know, who keep Saturday for Sunday, who they believe are going to have actually an opportunity to go to a place of safety physically here on earth. Some believe out somewhere out in the Middle East or perhaps up in the Rocky Mountains somewhere in Canada or Idaho or down in South America. But they believe, for all intents and purposes, I mean, a rapture is a rapture is a rapture. A place of protection, be it in heaven or be it on earth, is a place of protection. And the question that I have today is, does your Bible indeed promise you or I, because our name happens to be on a computer for a particular or assigned to a particular organization, or you or I are following a particular televangelist, or we've been paying our tithes and seed money to a particular man, that this somehow guarantees us a ticket to go on to heaven or to receive a telephone call from the leader, this evangelist, or maybe a deacon he's delegated to that's going to call you up and say, hey, you know, it's time to sell all your stuff, leave your family, and go on over to the Middle East. I mean, is that what your Bible really tells you? I think you're going to be a little bit surprised today as we explore some of these scriptures. So let me draw your attention to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, many of you are familiar with this particular chapter. Jesus Christ here enters a discussion with his disciples as a result of his disciples asking him a question regarding when the end of the age would occur. Jesus summarily goes through a bunch of items and events and conditions that he outlines for them here in this particular chapter that illustrates the answer to that question. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go through a lot of the details concerning many of those conditions or events that he alludes to and lists here in summation, but I do want to drop down to verse 29 because that's what's cogent for us today in this particular topic. In verse 29, I read, and I want you to pay particular attention here to the words. Now stay with me here. Listen to this. Immediately, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, did you hear what I said? I want to go back to the beginning of verse 29 here for a moment. Immediately after the tribulation, then there are going to be great signs that are going to occur. Now, we're going to read here in verse 30 and 31 of some other additional events that occur after the tribulation. But I want to make it emphatic in your minds that you're with me here on this, in that it is, that is, these events that occur in verse 30 and 31 do in fact and indeed occur after the tribulation. I also want to take a moment out here to share with you from my own personal library, I brought along with me an interlinear Bible. In Matthew 24, in this particular case, this portion of my volume of interlinear Bible versions, I brought along the Greek because, of course, the New Testament is translated in the Greek. The Old Testament is in the Hebrew. In Matthew 24, we find that the Greek manuscripts in an interlinear Bible are listed right above the English translations. So you can confirm and you can validate the fact as to whether or not the Greek word is indeed in the original manuscripts. So, my friends, in this regard, I want to point out your attention. I'm going to point to this. Now, we're going to put it up on the screen, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about here, where the Greek word, there it is, yotheos metathlipsis. You see that? Let me say it again here. Yotheos metathlipsis. That's the Greek. Yotheos, English translation, immediately. Meta, English translation, after, thlipsis, the trouble, the tribulation. You see, that's what it means. And you can see here, my friends, that I'm not making this stuff up. You've often heard me say, I'm not making this up. It's in your Bible. Well, I'm telling you, this was not, it's not only in your English translation. I'm using the King James Version here. It is in the original manuscripts. And I've just showed you this. So now, what else happens after the tribulations? Verse 30, look at this. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And, over here he continues, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right, tribulations, after the tribulations, great signs in the sky, and inclusive of the sign of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and Jesus bursting through the clouds. What happens after that? Verse 31, look at this. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. We're going to come back to that in a moment. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Okay, let's put this in sequence. And granted, Jesus is involving himself here in benchmark discussion. He is taking quantum leaps, leaving out, granted, I agree, a lot of details that are described there in Revelation for all of us to consider if we take the time to read the book of Revelation. That's another story. All I'm saying here is Jesus puts together some benchmarks, some watershed events for all of us to use as linchpins to understand the sequence of events regarding his coming. Tribulation. After the tribulation. Great signs in the sky, including the Son of Man's return bursting through the clouds. And then at the trump, the resurrection of the dead. In other words, Jesus collects all of his from the four corners of the earth. Now, that's pretty easy to understand. We understand, and I don't have the time to turn to it, so I'll reference it. We'll put it up on the screen for your consideration, 1 Corinthians 15. And you'll see there that Paul states at the last trump, the last trumpet. Now, if we go to Revelation, chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11, and I'm going to turn over here to chapter 11, the book of Revelation, for a moment, because I think it's important for you to understand that in the book of Revelation, there are seven trumpets listed. There's not 10, there's not 11, there's not 13 or 14, 15 or 25, there's not two, there's not four, there are seven trumpets. Now, if I tell you that there are only seven trumpets, and Paul says, at the last trump, the dead shall rise, and this mortal will put on immortality. And Jesus says over there in Matthew 24, at the trumpet, the event of him collecting all of his people from the four corners of the earth is going to occur. What are you to conclude? But that at the seventh trump, the nations become Jesus Christ's, and you, if you're a Christian that qualifies for the resurrection, receive your reward. Now, can we prove that from the Bible? Look at this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Follow me through this. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now, if you've done what I've asked you to do, and you review Revelation 8, 9, number 10, chapter 10 is an inset chapter, and come to chapter 11, you will understand that that describes the sequence of seven trumpets. The book of Revelation is divided into three sets of seven. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. The seventh seal opens up into the seventh trumpet, and the seventh trumpet opens up in the return of Christ with the seven vials being distributed onto the planet. The fact that I want to make mention here is Revelation 11:15 is the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And when that occurs, we just read, the nations of the world become, for all intents and purposes, by God the Father, He considers the nations of this world Jesus Christ's. And furthermore, verse 18, and the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that they should give reward unto your servants, the prophets and the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, my friends, that's as clear as you can possibly get in terms of sequence and confirmation and validation of what is happening at these times. We read in Matthew 24. Let me go back and summarize this. The tribulations occur, and it says there in verse 29, Matthew 24. We'll put it back up on the screen for you. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation. Now, then comes signs in the heaven, signs in the clouds. Then comes the sign of Christ and Christ bursting through the clouds. And then comes the resurrection. That is confirmed and validated and connected and locked in Revelation 11, verses 15, where at the last trump, the seventh angel sounds, and you can read, as I said, Revelation 8, 9, 10's an inset, 11, which is the first, second woe, which is the fifth and sixth trumpet. The third woe is the seventh trumpet, of which when God the Father gives the nations, for all intents and purposes, to Christ, and Christ then commences His return to distribute His reward to the prophets and His saints. There's no room for anybody going anywhere off this planet. There is no documentation. There is nothing in your Bible that says Jesus is coming on a near miss prior to all of this. Otherwise, believe you me, wouldn't it make sense to you that in Matthew 24, with Jesus going through a big summation of events leading up to the return of Himself and the resurrection of those whom He loves, wouldn't He have taken the time to list that of all things? Well, of course He would. Our Lord would have shared that information with us. But in this particular case, there is no information that indicates anything of such type. So you're left to believe that immediately after the tribulation, and you can read in Revelation that there is a great multitude of people, along with individuals who are considered from the tribes of Israel, that are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that they are those who come out of great tribulation. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I don't believe in the rapture anyway, in the sense of what many traditional Christians believe, in that I'm going to be wafted off to heaven. But I am going to go to a place of safety because God does indeed promise me protection. And in fact, and there are some, believe it or not, that believe that they're going to go to the Middle East. Of all things, I mean, when you read from Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and begin to understand the famine, the pestilence, the fact that 25% of the whole population of the earth is going to be destroyed, and then furthermore, in another battle, one-third of the remaining 75% are going to be killed, that the water is going to turn to blood, that the earth is going to experience seven times its normal heat, indicating just colossal type events that are going to impact the lives of human beings. My friends, all of these kinds of things. And then you, in spite of the fact that because the Middle East is going to be central to a lot of these events, are going to go to the Middle East for protection? Now, granted, I agree. Because you may say, well, God could protect you anywhere. I agree. If God's going to protect you in the Middle East, He will indeed protect you in the Middle East. But what I'm saying is, What if the Bible doesn't agree with that? If you can prove from the Bible that it tells you from God's Word, don't go to the Middle East, then you're left to conclude, are you not, that if you do, wouldn't you fall into the category of tempting God? I think you would agree to that, my friends. Well, look at over here in Luke 21. Now, I know a lot of you have had Matthew 24 emphasized to you over and over in your years in association with your walk with Jesus Christ. But I want to, for this particular illustration, go to Luke 21 for a moment. Now again, Luke 21, Mark 13 are all corollary to Matthew 24. I'm going to drop down again. Jesus is basically, from Luke's point of view, answering the same question that was presented to him by his disciples concerning signs of the times in the end times. Here in verse 20, though, after Jesus goes through a whole list of things, including a Christian martyrdom that he lists in verse 12 through about 19 in the book of Luke chapter 21, verse 20 now, we drop down, look at this, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. That's right, my friends. In the latter days, and you can read about this in Daniel chapter 11, the king of the north, which we understand to be a resurrected holy Roman Empire, is going to become a world-renowned power. It is going to literally invade and occupy the Middle East, and it is going to attack what is known to be a king of the south, which in most cases many believe is going to probably be some kind of Arab federation that is going to fight against this European Union known as the King of the North, which is nothing more than the resurrected Syrian Empire that morphed into the Roman Empire, of which in the latter days is going to be a world-ruling empire that is going to enforce tyranny on the planet. When that beast government, King of the North, invades the Middle East and goes into the Middle East, it is going to then become somewhat rattled as it takes over Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya from the Northeast, China and Russia, and ultimately are going to face off in the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. You know that story. You perhaps understand some of the symbology and all of the details concerning that. However, look at this now. When you see that happen, look what Luke tells you. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. If you're in Judea, get out of there, he says, when you see Jerusalem basically surrounded by armies. And let them which are in the midst of it, in the areas surrounding there, get out of there. And look at this now. We're going to put it up on the screen. Big, bold, red letters, brethren. I want you, my friends and brethren, to understand this. Look at this. And let not them that are in countries enter thereinto. Did you get that? It says that if you're outside of the Middle East, you're in another country, and you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, because yes, Jerusalem, the land of Palestine, today in the secular press known to us as Israel, will indeed again be invaded. It is going to be invaded. The fact is, when you see that occupation occur, your Bible says, Luke 21, verse 21, don't go there. That's all I'm saying. Does God promise protection? Of course He does. That's why you need to get the tapes. You need to get those tapes so you understand some of these things on how protection does indeed work in. Remember, God will never tempt you above that which you're not able to handle. If you're worried about martyrdom, and frankly you believe in the hope of your protection and avoidance of the tribulation primarily because you want to save your skin, I understand that. I don't want to be killed. I don't want to have my head chopped off. I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to be incarcerated or captured as a POW no more than you do. But the fact is that if that's God's prerogative for you, I mean, we gave ourselves up, didn't we? When we went under the waters of baptism, committed our lives to Jesus Christ. We're not owned by ourselves anymore, my friends. Jesus Christ owns you for His glory and His praise. We need to keep that into consideration and stop all this selfish thinking about our own self-preserving protection. My friends, you need to get the material we're offering. I want you to stay tuned here. We've got a few closing comments from my colleague. We're going to be back at you, God willing, next week. But in the meantime, take the time. Get the tapes. There's so much more information in them. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. Let the operator know which format you prefer, CD or cassette. And as I said, God willing, stay with us. We'll see you right back here next week.
The Bible talks about a time of trouble, great tribulations, such as was not since the beginning of the world, enormous calamities due to disease, grievous sores, famine, and pestilence. The sea and the rivers will turn blood red because of the quantity of the dead. The sun will scorch men with fire and great heat, destroying much of the earth, while the great river Euphrates will dry up, preparing the way of an army of 200 million coming from the east and gathering at Armageddon to prepare for the war to end all wars near Jerusalem. Some have claimed Christians will be taken to heaven, removed from the tribulation to come, while other Christians claim they will escape to Petra, the desert city of the Nabataeans, south of the Dead Sea in the Middle East. Will a contemporary type of Jim Jones, Heaven's Gate, the Moonies, or David Koresh convince good Christian folks to sell their homes and other assets, giving up family and friends, traveling to Petra near Jerusalem to escape the tribulation? Some will have you believe a protection rapture is promised by God, or a place of safety located on the earth that will protect us from the torment of the tribulation of God's wrath upon this planet. Does accepting Jesus Christ guarantee you protection from the tribulation? If you're left behind, should you feel weak and inferior, considering the tribulations to be your punishment? Friends, you need to balance your perspective and understanding with the Bible. Let us help you. Dial now, right now, 888-578-8791. Let the operator know you'd like to obtain both of our free offers. Where is your place of safety? A one-hour presentation along with a second one-hour presentation. In whom do we trust? Tell the operator which format you prefer, CD or cassette. 888-578-8791 and our website at www.cgi.org. So let us remind you, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.